Church, today we light the Advent candle of hope. Hope, which we sang a lot about, didn't we? You know, and as we were singing those songs, you know, I was so glad personally that we slowed down, O Come, O Come. It was a little slower pace, I think, than normal, wouldn't you agree? But when we do that, we can really appreciate some of the words in there. And what struck me was word of the Father. Word of the Father. Which speaks to what? It speaks to God's promise and its fulfilling of his promises, right? So that's exciting stuff. Well, with that, you know, again, just good morning to you all, and I want to welcome you again to this, the first week of Advent. These are the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas where we celebrate a season of hope, okay? Because of the Advent or the arrival of Jesus Christ, celebrated as what we all know as Christmas, right? And with that said, as cliche as it sounds, it is true that Jesus is the greatest gift ever given to the world because he was born for one purpose. And it was a purpose, mind you, that he lovingly and valiantly followed through on. And his purpose to take away the impact of the sins of the world. He was born to take away the impact of the sin in your life and mine. That's what he was born for. All so that you can be in right relationship with God, both now and forever. What an amazing gift, right? Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Now, before we even get into that, though, and all that, I just want to pause for a minute because I got to tell you, something as monumental as Jesus' birth, it didn't come without a weight, okay? It didn't come without a weight. So as we wrap our heads around this concept of waiting, you're probably familiar with this phrase that we sometimes are found saying, you know, maybe before a dramatic moment, maybe in a story, or maybe it's leading up to a humorous part of a video. You know, it's when all the energy, all the anticipation, when that's all building up, where we say what? What do we say? We say, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, right? We say that. And when it comes to waiting, you've probably also thought, you know, at one time or another that the younger generations just don't know how to wait for it, whatever it is. I mean, everything. Would you agree? Everything is so fast. Everything is so convenient in our time, isn't it? For example, kids these days, they don't know what it's like to wait for, I don't know, you could really name it, but maybe commercials. You remember a time, right, older folks, when you couldn't just fast forward through them or skip them, but you had to patiently wait for them to be over for your show to start again? And you know what else you couldn't do? You couldn't just bounce over to the next channel without getting up and turning that actual knob on the TV to 2, 4, or 7, or if you were lucky and it was a clear day, at my house at least, you could get 29. But you had to adjust those rabbit ear antennas a little bit, right? That all took time. That all took waiting. That all took patience. And then who also remembers this? I got it. Give me a second to fire this up. Who remembers this baby? It's killing me. It's killing me. I'm going to stop that now because it's killing me. Stop. It wouldn't stop. That was the dial-up internet sound, in case anybody doesn't know. When you had to sit through all of those annoying, those horrible screeches just to connect. Or here's an oldie, here's an oldie but a goodie. How about waiting for someone to get off the telephone at your house? Do you remember that? Or if you had that was beyond my time. Or if you were trying to reach someone, right, by phone. Now, I got to tell you, this one personally was a tough one for me when I was dating my wife of today, the lovely Miss Laura, because way back in high school, okay, I often had to wait for someone, her mom, okay, God rest her soul, but I had to wait for her mom, and I loved her mom, but she didn't get off the phone very much, okay? I had to wait for that to happen So I found myself oftentimes impatiently waiting so I could have these awkward teenage conversations with my wife of today. And the waiting seemed so tough back then, which is kind of comical today when I have been adulting for a while. But you see, back in the day, you couldn't just, I don't know, jump on your own personal device. You couldn't just go to your room to talk on the phone because there was also this, remember this baby? You could stretch it so far, right? But see, phones back in the day, they had this long cord to them. Whoa, almost dropped it. And you couldn't even get on it. In my house, most houses only had one of those, okay? So you couldn't go to the room. The bottom line is you were a kid, you had to wait in line for the phone, and you were the kid, so you had to wait last in line. And there was no, you know, texting, there was no instant messaging to use to communicate with someone. Man, right? Did we have it rough growing up, right? But that's enough about the old generations like me, because I got to say something. I bet that even some of the older teenagers in this place today, they might even think of elementary or middle schoolers today who already maybe have their own phones or devices or some sort of thing like that. And they're probably like, what gives, you know? Wait a minute. I had to wait till I was like in high school to get something like that. And so they probably think, you know, these young kids today, they just don't know what it's like to wait for something. Point being, church, I think every generation, okay? I think every generation thinks similar things of the younger generations, that they don't know how to wait for things compared to what they had to wait for. And with that said, I'm pretty sure, okay, that it is safe to say that those of the faith in the one true God who were alive during the time of Jesus' birth, they could easily say of us today, all of us, okay, those young whippersnappers, they don't know what waiting is. I mean, you and I, okay, we simply turn the page, don't we, from the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, to the New Testament, where we hear of the birth of Jesus. But I got to tell you, that simple turn of the page that takes you and I not even a second, that represents 400 years of waiting. 400 years of waiting on the part of God's people. 400 years of waiting for God to fulfill his prophecies. 400 years of waiting for God to fulfill his promises. 400 years, think of it, of trying to keep the faith and to pass it on to the next generation. 400 years of looking for the long-awaited Savior of the world. And I don't know about for you, but I think if I were them, you know, I'd start asking myself some questions. Like, hey, has God abandoned us? Or maybe even, wow, was he ever really even here to begin with? Or have we wasted all of this time waiting for him to act? Well, with that, I want to suggest something to you and I today, okay, this morning. And that is this. Waiting is not wasted when we're waiting on God, the God of the universe. Waiting is not wasted when we are waiting on God. Now, that's a lot easier, you know, said than done, right? Because waiting, I don't know about for you, but it feels like wasting time to us, doesn't it? Especially as Americans who are used to this dizzying pace of life, as compared when you think about the ancient Israel world and even much of the world today in other parts of our globe. I mean, in ancient Israel, they would spend all day making the main meal, while we can barely wait for our meal to heat up in the microwave, right? Or for that drive-through line for our coffee. Oh, I'm gonna die over here, right? And they, back in Jesus' time, they would even wait to hear news, think about it, from loved ones forever, right? Because of how communication went. While we get annoyed, guilty as charged, ask my wife, we get annoyed when someone doesn't answer our text straight away, don't we? And while those examples are silly, I'll admit those are silly, okay? But then there is this really heartbreaking waiting, isn't there? This really heartbreaking waiting. You know, situations and circumstances that rightly feel like they might be crushing us. Things like maybe, I don't know, waiting to get pregnant. Or maybe waiting for your spouse to want to make the marriage work. Or maybe waiting for loved ones to come to know and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Or maybe waiting for things like reconciliation with a wayward child or even a wayward parent. And there is the waiting, you know, for even being healed. There's the waiting to get hired. There's the waiting to even get noticed, right? The waiting to get promoted, or maybe the waiting to retire. And in all of that, we might feel like we are wasting our lives away, waiting for some of these things to happen. But allow me to say it again, okay? Waiting, church, waiting is not wasted when we are waiting on God. In fact, the psalmist from our Bible, he puts it this way in Psalm 130, verses 5 to 6. He says this, "I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning." Yes, more than watchmen wait for the morning. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been up all night? You ever been up all night? You know, maybe you work third shift, or maybe up all night rocking a fussy baby. Maybe up all night waiting for a teenager to get home. Or just, you know, as if it's anything but just, you know, maybe up all night just anxious, right? Anxious about the day. Anxious about the days ahead. Or just anxious about life in general. Well, if you have, then you likely know, okay? You likely know what it is like sometimes to just wait for the morning to come, when things maybe just seem a little bit better, or at least where there's enough distraction to take the edge off those complicated, anxious thoughts in your mind, right? Well, with that, the prophet Malachi, the writer of the last book of our Old Testament, he gets really specific about what day that we're waiting for. And what we are about to look at, it's the very last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. So we're going to be in Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 1, but before we read it, I want to ask you, you know, can you just like notice, can you notice the future tense, or one could say the language of waiting that he uses when we read this? Let's read it. Malachi 4, starting in verse 1. "Surely the day is coming, right? The day is coming, and it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing on its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to come before that great and dreadful day of the Lord's coming. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." You see, in this last chapter of the Old Testament, God is casting a vision of the future. He's casting a vision about a coming day when one will be sent to prepare the way. And on that day, evil, did you catch it? Evil will be burned from top to bottom. And the wicked will be completely destroyed. Well, those who honor God, termed as the righteous here, perhaps some of us, will be what? Healed, restored, whole. What a great word. We will be whole. And this, our prophet writer says there will be this Elijah-esque prophet, right? Now, Elijah's story, it's found in 1 Kings 17 and in 2 Kings 2. And his time was a time when there was a lot of dreadful things going on, okay? A lot of dreadful things in Elijah's time when Israel's history was going on then. And Elijah, what he was faithful to the Lord. And he called the people to repent. He called them to repent and to turn to God. And so Malachi, he says that he will return, this Elijah figure, okay? And he will return to prepare people's hearts and to reconcile families. And heck, it even says that we're going to frolic in the field like cows. And so let me ask you this. When's the last time you did that? It sounds pretty amazing, though I don't think you'd want to see me doing that. And nor would I want to see probably you doing that, but it's imagery, right? It's imagery, isn't it? Of this what? Of this joy. This joy and this freedom, and dare I say, the absence of anxiety. And of even thinking of what anyone thinks when we are in the presence of God. And I mean, again, on this day spoken of, the wicked and its bad fruit will be gone, right? Well, the righteous will be healed in families. I want to repeat this. Families. Oh, boy, what a day. Families reconciled. And it mentioned sunshine, didn't it? Sunshine, which we in Western New York, we all know the healing power of the sun's rays, don't we? Especially in light, or in fact, the lack thereof, of this past week. And I don't know about to you, but man, doesn't that sound like something worth waiting for? Amen. And waiting patiently for, and waiting well for, and waiting obediently for, and waiting trustingly for. But think about it. After painting this picture, okay, after painting this amazing picture of the future, 400 years. For 400 years, think about that. Still waiting, still longing for the Messiah and for salvation. And not just waiting in peace, okay? Because history tells us that in those years, okay, the Greeks conquered the promised land, the land of God's Old Testament people. And then the Jews, they briefly take it over again, only to see then the Roman Empire come and conquer the Mediterranean world, finally setting the scene into which our New Testament finally begins. And during this time, Caesar Augustus rules this Roman Empire, and he appoints this guy named Herod to be king of Judea, the region of God's Old Testament people. So again, the point is just imagine. Imagine not just waiting 400 years, but being occupied by these foreign powers. And how all of that only had to heighten this longing, right, for this deliverance, but also to present this risk of discouragement and even maybe walking away, right? And not only that, but in addition, different factions of the Jewish population, the population of God's Old Testament people, they had different understandings of God's law. And what this promised Messiah, what his forerunner, the one to prepare the way, would be like. And also, there was these differing ideas of how people of God should live as they waited. All to say this, that God's apparent silence, compounded by a pagan culture and an ongoing moral depravity and the internal religious factions within the community of God, the Jews, that created a dark world, didn't it? It created a dark world indeed for God's chosen people when Christ was born. So while I think that we can all relate to such times based on, you know, all the controversy of the last few years and all the division and all the strife, this also tells us something. It tells us that this is nothing new. This is nothing new when it comes to waiting as a child of God. And I pray that we can at least take encouragement in that today and know that waiting is never wasted when we are waiting upon God, because it is into this setting, okay, of the Old Testament people, of the ancient world, it is into that setting that we read Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, which says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." So do you know what that says, church? Israel, the Jews, the people of God, they did not merely get a word from God. They got the word of God. God born and God dwelling and God living among them. His being born, which we celebrate this Christmas. For the Gospel of Luke, it opens with the account of this priest, okay? This priest named Zechariah, and he and his wife Elizabeth, well, they knew something. They knew the hard reality of waiting. Because despite many years of praying and hoping and praying for a child, they were unable to conceive. And at this point, where we're about to read, they were very old, okay? They were beyond childbearing age. However, one day, as Zechariah is at the temple, an angel appeared with some startling news. And we're going to read that right now. Luke 1, verse 11 to 17. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So did you catch that as we turn from the Old Testament 400 years to the New Testament? Did you catch this? This child who will grow up to be called John the Baptist, well, he is the one prophesied about in Malachi. For the season of Israel is entering the birth of Jesus. And John, the word said, will be one resembling Elijah. It said that he would go on before the Lord, before Jesus Christ, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And so John would prepare the way for God's own son. And so with that, we haven't even gotten to the birth of Jesus yet, okay? We haven't even gotten there yet. We'll get there as the series continues. We haven't even gotten there already. But we already see that Christmas is what? It is a season of longing. It's a season of longing. It's a season of anticipation. It's a season of waiting for what is to come. It's all that, but it is also a season where God proves faithful. He proves faithful to his promises, and thus he proves trustworthy. And so you and I, we can trust him, and we can wait for the fulfillment of all things that he has promised us. And we can wait for healing eternally. And we can wait for a relationship with him now and forever. And his ministry to us now and forever. That's what he promises. Because as Israel longed for its Savior, and as Elizabeth and Zechariah longed for a child, and as you and I, as we long for Jesus' return, which is promised, and thus for everything to be set right once and for all, well, while we wait, do you know what gives us hope? While we wait, God works while we wait. He works while we're waiting. I mean, while we're waiting, it often feels like, again, nothing is happening, right? But that doesn't mean, church, that God is not working or that he is not active. Our feelings can deceive us, in other words, because during that 400 years, God was working. He was working. He was working through history. He was working through difficult circumstances, all to prepare his people for what he was about to give them. We know that because of what Galatians 4 says. It says, when the fullness of time, or when the right time came, God sent forth the Messiah, his son, Jesus the Christ, of whom we celebrate this season. You see, so much of the waiting is its preparation. Also that we are ready to receive it when it comes. And let me ask you this. I've been wrestling with this. Have you ever thought of seasons of waiting to be an opportunity? An opportunity to express your trust? An opportunity to express growing trust in God, even though facing challenging times? Trusting that he is working in ways that you, quite frankly, haven't been observant enough or willing to even see? Or to trust him enough for? Just trusting that he is working in ways that we cannot even see at times. And trusting that he is working at a pace that is best, whether that matches your timeline or mine or not. Because the bottom line is that God works while we wait. God works while we wait. Trust me. Trust the word. Trust history. that we read about in the Word. God works while we wait. So during this, okay, during this, your own Advent journey, because I got to tell you something, this season is yours to be had. It's mine to be had. It's yours to be had. It is meant to be personally yours, meaning a personal time for you to connect with your Heavenly Father. That's what this season is for. It is for you to connect with Him. So during it, would you consider something? Would you consider confessing to Him that you haven't had confidence in His timing? Would you consider confessing to Him that you haven't had confidence in His timing regarding whatever you've been waiting for? Whatever you've been getting confused, frustrated, or dare I say, even mad at God for? Would you confess that to Him in this season? He won't walk away from you. And would you ask for Him? And would you choose to allow Him to instill in you a confidence, a renewed confidence in Him and in His timing, in every situation? Would you consider that? And would you just recognize, would you embrace that His timing, it includes preparation? That's what it includes, the preparation you and all need to receive what He may be getting ready to give us. For we once again see that His Old Testament people, they needed hundreds of years to prepare. Hundreds of years for John the Baptist to come. Hundreds of years for Him to pave the way for Jesus the first time. And His timing is perfect. It's perfect. And by embracing His timing, would we use this time of waiting, this season maybe that we're in, would we use it in the best way possible by further pursuing Him? Further pursuing Him, whether that be, you know, in prayer more deeply, or maybe by reading His Word more regularly or at all for some of us, or by getting more and more about His business and participating with the Holy Spirit in serving others or serving the church in ways that maybe you haven't been. And so through all of that, we proclaim Jesus. That's what we do. We proclaim our trust in Him while we wait well and obediently, because we trust that He's working. That's our calling. That's your calling. That's my calling, to wait well and to be about His business, to make disciples, to be more Christ-like, to be transformed by prayer and the Word. So would we be about that while we wait? That's our calling. So with that, at this time, I want to call the worship team to come forward. And as they do, I'm going to ask you to participate with me in prayer, okay? And this is going to be a little bit different than sometimes we do, okay? Because a lot of times, the pastor, even myself included, we just cover you all in prayer. But I'm going to ask you today, would you participate with me in that? Because again, this season is your season to be had. It's mine to be had, it's yours to be had. It's ours to grow deeper in trust with God. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to walk through like three different prayer prompts, okay? And the first one is one we mentioned today, and that was just confessing. So I'm just going to start this off, and I want to give you some time to just confess from you to your Heavenly Father. And you can do that quietly, or you can do that verbally. This is a family here. Would you just confess the times when you have not been trusting His timing? When you've been questioning His promises? When you've even been questioning His goodness? Are you in a season of that? Or maybe not even giving Him a situation and letting go and letting Him. So would you just tell Him in this next few seconds, from your heart to His, confess where, what area you're just not trusting His timing in. Let's go to our Heavenly Father. Lord, we come to you right now together. And Lord, you've heard your people. We confess maybe the situation that's going on right now in our life, whether that be something with a relationship, something with an opportunity that we think just looks so perfect and good, or entering a new season, Lord, and we've been trying to trust you in it, but we're just wondering where you're at. We've been questioning your goodness in this season. We confess that to you, Lord. We confess it right now. And Lord, maybe there's even, you know, areas where we've been trusting, but that's getting thin. Would you refresh us? Would you renew us in that? Because it's a time of preparation. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Now that we have confessed, I want to ask you to pray something else, okay? I want to ask us all to just pray to our Father, you to him, that he would fill you with a confidence and a trust in him during this season of waiting. So we just confessed and we said, we're not going to do that anymore with this situation. I'm not going to question your goodness. I don't want to do that. Would you take that away? That's what we said. And we're confessing it to you. Will you now fill me, God? Will you fill me with a confidence in your timing and what you're going to do? Take a minute to do that with your Heavenly Father. Lord, we just want to release these things that have been holding us back from trusting you, from believing in your goodness for us. So Lord, we have laid that at your feet, and now we just collectively, we come together and say, fill us. Fill us with a confidence, a renewed faith in who you are and what you're capable of doing. Lord, would you minister to us in that way? Would you help us to go about this season in that confidence that you are a God of your word? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. One last one. I know this is different because we don't do it. Might be awkward, but it's good because this is your season. It's your season, not mine. It is mine, but it's also yours. So also, let's ask, you know, God, during this season, while I'm waiting, while I'm confessing those things, while I'm being filled with confidence, what would you have me do? How can I go deeper in my relationship with you? Is it prayer? Is it the word? Is it getting involved somewhere? Let's ask God to speak to us and to guide us in those ways that we can pursue him more fully now that we are free. Take a minute to do that and ask your Heavenly Father to shed light there. Lord, as we enter this Advent season, we ask that you would just show us what to do in the waiting. What to do that is of you in the waiting. What to do that can just strengthen our relationship with you. What to do that we could just be in your presence more, hear you more, and be able to respond to you more. What would that be? We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd invite you to stand for worship through song.